That craving and hate, this itself is sin.
And also this business between wanting to do something and being forced to do what you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not.
Yeah. Like, again, Father stands up and says, eat your breakfast, and you sit there. I don't want to. Eat it.
I suppose if you're a small baby, he's entitled to it. Huh? As long as you are in the crib.
But this happens in life all over.
That's why we have the chaos. They force you and you want to wriggle out. And of course, this we have heard quite often. You are my wife, and if you don't do this, I'll divorce you. That's not. I love you. And if you don't do this, I'll divorce you. There's no love in it. Why didn't you say that before? I wouldn't do it. It is a threat. Violence. Mm.
As long as there's identification with the physical body, that's going to arise.
Need not. Identification with the physical body is a very rather nebulous, metaphysical concept.
As long as one identifies with physical pain, and you're given a choice of two alternatives, both of them might be painful to you. You then have to choose one.
No. There's a physical pain. No. I can completely avoid physical pain without coming into conflict with anybody on earth. It's the psychological pain that you are really talking about. Psychological pain is something, it's imaginary. It's psychology, not pain. Physical pain I can avoid, I will avoid. It is the psychological pain that, Rick might say, come on Swami, let's have a swim. I go down there, it's too cold for me. I say, all right, I'll watch you, why don't you go ahead. And then he taunts me or insults me. Ah, you are a sissy man. The body doesn't take any notice of all his taunts and teasing and so on. It feels the water is still cold. It is inflexible. It sees the truth, plain truth, and nothing but the truth. But then the mind starts calculating. My God, how to take this man's insult? That is when I do what. What is the most stupid thing? What is most unwise thing? Psychological pain doesn't exist, it is created. And that is the reason why it's so difficult to deal with it. It's a phantom pain, it doesn't exist. I feel hurt. What do you mean I feel hurt? Nothing has been hurt. You bring a knife and slash my wrist, I can see it. But you sit there and you call me an idiot. Nothing, I cannot see anything at all. Maybe because I am an idiot. Maybe because I am not. What I cannot see? If I am an idiot, I cannot see it, obviously. If I am not an idiot, I cannot see that also. But somehow I am hurt. How is that? And in the same way, somebody says something nice and I feel tremendously, feathers springing up. You look into the mirror, you are still the same silly fool. Inwardly you feel quite happy. I have never understood that also. People say, oh, you are a marvelous person, my God. What do you see now?
Possible that people come closer together, and in their realization of their oneness, they are in a sense beginning to pierce the shell, and that is what makes them happy.
We are talking about love. That is, when I shed my shell, I am happy already. Anything that helps you break through your shell makes you happy. You begin to fly. Your little wings start flapping. The chicken is out.
Angels.
Will you know when you're out?
I should guess so, yes. Just as you know you are awake, you're not sleeping.
Swamiji, you said when we were talking about Kundalini energy, I think you said that Kundalini energy was good because it was something outside myself. Is that correct?
Hmm?
I think you said that Kundalini energy, I believe someone asked you if Kundalini energy was neutral, if the energy was neutral. And I think you replied that Kundalini energy was good because it was something that was outside of myself.
Outside of this self, yeah, mm-hmm. The ego.
Or okay, now would it be possible to say...
Outside of the self, I hope we are...
Or it's outside of the ego, okay. Yes, I understand. Mm-hmm. Now, if desire and hatred are both created by the ego, could I say that love is created as part of the energy?
Right,
yeah.
Right. Correct.
All right, now if there is a love that is part of the energy, is there anything that is opposite to that love?
No.
There isn't?
No. Because it's only in the shell,
yes,
that there is a clash of opposites.
Mm.
Unfortunately, we have used that word love to cover this and that, just as we have used the word day in two senses. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. is also called day. 6 a.m. round the clock to 6 a.m. is also called a day. That's where the whole thing has gone wrong. I believe in Greek, who is Greek? You Greek. Yeah? Agape. Yeah? Am I pronouncing it rightly?
Mm-hmm.
Agape is the divine love, and something else, eros, is lust, passion.
Yeah, right? There's all kinds of meanings they bring into it.
Yeah. They have a sort of fine distinction. We have lost that.
Because in modern, Anne can correct me on this, but in modern psychology there is, and I think it's quite right that if I have negative feelings towards somebody, I should talk about them, and that then by talking about them, I see that they are unreal or that they are created by my ego and they go away. When I'm in touch with the divine aspect of that love, then that will endure.
It is.
Yes.
It is. This talking about only, I'm not quite clear about. Talk about it to whom?
Well, to the other person, if I feel...
No, that's a risky thing.
I'm sorry?
That's a very risky thing.
Yes, but I find myself that if I have a relationship with another person and I feel that there is, let's say that is a, I have very negative feelings towards another person, I have found out that if I don't try to work through that
yeah,
they just build up and they really they harm me.
I think I have a chip on my shoulder, I'm just there, because I think I've heard too many unhappy sequels to that sort of thing, where such things have led to unpleasant consequences. I've heard of priests betraying confidence, the confessions and so on. I've heard of psychiatrists and psychologists. I mean, this is nearly becoming common, too common to discuss. Even though I believe the moral code of the psychiatrist demands that he should have nothing whatsoever to do with the patient. But somehow it doesn't work. Human beings are human beings, right? Whether I'm a priest or a swami or a psychiatrist or what, I'm a human being still. And so if someone comes to me with a confession, and I see some advantage in it to myself, I might make use of it. And so I think I go right back to the, it's unfortunately Oriental. I don't know if this existed in the Occidental religious traditions, where we go to a temple or shrine and feeling the presence of God in an image or a statue or whatever it is, do exactly what you say. But say it to a neutral agent, knowing that that statue is not going to betray me. My God, what is this? Why am I hating this person? Why don't you? It's painful, it's terrible. Please, can't you help me get rid of this? I prefer that. And the other thing, going to the to that person himself or herself and telling him or her, you know, I'm full of hate for you and I'm trying to overcome this. Poor thing, she may not even know that I hate her. Why make her aware of a negative or unpleasant feeling? I'm not quite sure whether it works. Just a couple of moments gossip. This happened once in the ashram in Rishikesh. The master never did this. He didn't encourage that at all. And two swamis had a mortal fight. Trading insults. And the master looked at both of them. One had been hurt. And the master turned to him and he said, bear injury, what is all this? Suddenly sound. Some words in the air, just forget it. And then he went away. He turned to the insulter. And he said, why must you be harsh and so on, even if he had done something wrong? Must never be rude, never be insulting in your behavior. And both of them had gone away. Then the insulter happened to be a very good person, a person of wonderful reputation. And so he decided to sort of apologize openly. Exactly what you're saying. And I was going up the hill when one of his boys, servants, came down with a note, said so-and-so asked me to show it to you. I read it. It said, at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we are going to have a meeting in the office. Please attend. I looked at him and said, what is this? He said, you know, I was very sorry afterwards and I want to call an assembly of all the people here and openly apologize to him and fall at his feet and beg his forgiveness. He said, better not do it. If you have changed, why don't you show it in your actions? That's all that is needed. Why must I go and catch hold of your feet? And I may do it privately. But publicly it has a different flavor, because no one can resist the feeling that you are trying to show off. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, I'm going to do it, I'm determined, that's the right thing to do. I still said, it's better not to do it, but if you want, I'm not coming to it. I won't come. Because I more or less had a hunch of what was going to happen. I didn't go. And later I heard that it got much worse. Because this gentleman, this Swami got up and said, I must apologize to Rick. And, he misbehaved. And even though he did all those things, I shouldn't have. And he blew up and said, why misbehave, you rascal, you this, you that. And he said, oh, shut up. I'm trying to apologize and you are trying. So if you have a negative feeling towards someone, unless the other person doesn't respond at all, Let's say she's offended. I teased her or something and she's offended. I can go to her in private and I don't even have to say. With my whole being must feel it, must apologize. Every bit of it. Mm. Right? That's possible. Person to person. Mm. Then, and even that, only if every cell of my being is saturated with this feeling, oh, I've done something wrong. I must apologize. I must make up for it. If even one out of the 3 billion cells of my brain, even if 15 of them feel that I am right, that she was somehow wrong, it won't work. There's something in me which says she was wrong and, well, somehow I have exceeded my limits, you know. You've heard of this, police excesses and that sort of thing. That the crowd must have been put down. But instead of firing 4 rounds, they must have fired 3 rounds. That is what is called police excess. I don't admit that the whole thing was wrong. My whole action was wrong. Then I will merely stand in front of him and fold my palms and he knows everything. If I am wrong, if I know I am wrong, if every cell of my being knows I am wrong, then I fold my palms and then what does he do? Ah, you hypocrite. You come to apologize now. You think you are a Jesus Christ, do you? Am I still able to say, keep mum? Now it's your turn. Am I able to say that? Am I still able to fold my palms and say, all right? No. Whatever you do, I'm wrong. Then it may work. And that's tough training. I've seen the other attitude is better, especially if you and I are living together, yes, in a community. The other attitude is better. Leave it alone. I offended you. I have done something wrong. I have had negative feelings. I have positively offended you. And I have meditated upon it and I realized that I was wrong. I simply keep quiet. And from then on, I make every effort to see that negativity is not continued. You will naturally react differently, yes? Because you don't know I have changed. You may think I am a hypocrite, you may think I am showing off, you may think all sorts of things. But since I have changed, I must continue the change regardless of what your attitude towards me, your attitude regardless of your suspicion of this change. Then it works. Otherwise it's risky. Are you on that, sir? Are you people ready for some more Sanskrit?